Well, welcome to our first announcement video for 2023. It's a new year. We got lots of stuff going on.
Yes, and if you want to know more about it, you can grab a snapshot. That is at the Connect Desk, and there you will find all the events and groups that are happening in January, including our youth that is starting up again on this Wednesday, January 11th. You'll also notice that we have a night of prayer and worship that's happening on January 17th. Why don't you tell us a bit more about that, Kim?
Yeah, you betcha. Well, some of the feedback we had at our town hall meeting a little while back was that people wanted to have an opportunity to pray for the search that we are doing for a new lead pastor. So we're gonna specifically do that. So on Tuesday evening, January the 17th, at 7 p.m., we're gonna gather here at our Wilkinson Road campus and just spend some time in prayer as a community as we search for a new lead pastor. So if you're interested in doing that and being a part of that, come on out.
Awesome. So for all the information you need about what's happening here at SBC, grab a snapshot or you can always check out the website.
You betcha. See you next time.
Happy New Year. Welcome to 2023. This is very exciting. And it is good to be here together with all of you as we start this new year. We are trusting that God is going to be doing great things here at SBC, but also through his church, us, his people in the community this year. But we know that the only way that happens is if the Holy Spirit is working through us. And so we wanted to dedicate the first few weeks of this new year to just practicing together as a community some of those spiritual rhythms that help us fix our eyes on Jesus and hear from the Holy Spirit. So for the next few weeks, you may notice that our services will look a little bit different than what you may be used to. We are going to be dedicating this first week to the Lord's Supper. Next week, we're going to be looking at prayer. We're going to look at worship and then scripture meditation. So today, as we focus on the Lord's Supper, which is something that we regularly do here at SBC, about once a month we take the Lord's Supper together, but our whole service is going to be dedicated to preparing our hearts and then taking communion together. So if you haven't picked up a little communion cup and wafer from the back, make sure you grab that. We'll be taking that later on in the service. But we're going to be going through the different themes of the Lord's Supper. So looking at remembrance, Thanksgiving, proclamation, self-examination. And so as we go through our service, we're going to give you an opportunity to participate and to engage with each of these themes of the Lord's Supper. But as we begin, let me just open up with this call to worship. Loving God, you call us to turn away from our own selfish interests, to take up our cross, and to follow you, to find our lives. May we live them in service of your mission. And as we come before you this morning, give us open hearts and open hands. Make us eager to hear your voice and seek your guidance. Open our minds to your ever-present Spirit that is always moving within and around us. And open our spirits to your nudging. Open our lives to your love. So I invite you to stand, and we're going to sing these first couple of songs that are going to help us remember all that God has done for us.
Let's put our hands together this morning as we sing, "Come, let us worship our King. Let us bow. His feet. He's done great things."
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior is. Love overcome, he has done great things. faithful. Cause you've been faithful through every storm. And you'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. Amen. Our God does do amazing things, great things, mighty things, powerful things. Let's praise Him. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast. Beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss! The Father turns His face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection.
Sing it out. Why should I gain?
Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain?
I know,
but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my
The first theme that we are going to be looking at this morning is the theme of remembrance. And I think when we come to the Lord's table, that's probably the theme that most readily comes to our mind. When we read in the Gospels about Jesus with His disciples, the Passover meal, He took the bread, He took the cup, and He said, "Whenever you eat this bread and take this cup, do this in remembrance of me." And so He called His disciples to remember, and He calls us to remember whenever we take these elements. And so the question is, what do we remember? When we come to the Lord's table, what are we remembering? And we are remembering Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Those things that we just sang together, we remember those things. Remember that He willingly gave up His life so that we could have true, abundant, eternal life. We remember His body being beaten and broken and nailed to a cross. Remember His blood being shed. We remember the great love and grace and forgiveness that was demonstrated so many years ago when Jesus was nailed to a cross. But we also remember how that moment in time forever changed our relationship with our God. And we remember that unmatched power that God demonstrated when Jesus won the victory over sin and death. And so for followers of Jesus, we are commanded to take communion. We are commanded to eat this bread and drink the cup in remembrance of Jesus. And we're commanded to do it in remembrance of Him. And I think both of those things demonstrate God's love for us, because God knows human beings. He knows that we are forgetful. And even when we remember the story so clearly, I think we can sometimes forget the significance of this story. We can remember it simply as something that happened thousands of years ago and miss that this is the entrance, this is the way to abundant life that is being transformed by Jesus. And so we need to come to the Lord's table. We need to take communion over and over and over again so that we can remember over and over and over again what Jesus has done for us. And so we want to remember this morning. So Kim is going to take us on a journey through the final moments of Jesus' life before He was crucified by reading from Luke 22 and 23.
Yes. So Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples followed Him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to his disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he said to them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." But while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, and Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priests. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We've heard it from his own lips." Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up all the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Therefore, I will punish him, and then I will release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection, Barabbas, and the one they had asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country. They put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And the people stood watching. And the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. I'm going to invite you to stand once more as we sing, "All Hail King Jesus." There was a moment when we thought everything was finished and everything was darkness and death. And yet there was also a moment when he conquered death and the grave. So let's sing and let's praise him for that. When death had claimed its victory, the King of love had given up his life, the darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners, for every curse his blood atoned. And the veil was torn, but sacrifice was made as the heavens roared. All hail King Jesus, all hail the Lord of heaven.
All hail King Jesus.
All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Savior of the world. Yeah, God, we hail you as King. We thank you for the time that we have to remember you, to remember the pain and the suffering, the hardship, to remember your request to have this cup be taken away from you, to remember your decision to obey, even to die on a cross as obedience to you. But ultimately, God, we also remember your victory over that grave. We remember the power of God to bring forth Jesus from the grave, to bring forth restoration in relationship with us, that we can know and be in the presence of God. God, we thank you. We remember. And we pray all of this in your powerful, mighty name. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite you to take a seat. And kids, at this time, it has been so great to have you guys with us. But you can head to the back and find Shyla. She's waving over there. And she would love to take you, and you guys can continue your program upstairs. And the rest of us, we are going to continue on in this theme of communion, the Lord's Supper. And we're going to look at our next theme. We started with remembrance. We're now going to move on to thanksgiving. And so when we remember what Christ has done for us, when we spend that time to remember that, I think the natural response is going to be thanksgiving. And also Jesus models this for us in when we read about the Last Supper in the Gospels. We see that Jesus takes the bread and he gives thanks. He takes the cup and he gives thanks. And so even when we find ourselves in seasons or in places where it's kind of hard to find things to be thankful for, we can still take some time to remember what Jesus has done for us, and that can compel us to offer our praise and our thanksgiving. And so we're going to do this together by reading this prayer of thanksgiving. And so it's a corporate prayer, and so there'll be pieces that I just read, and then pieces where you guys can join in with me to read this prayer of thanksgiving. So let's pray this together. Give thanks to the Lord, who is good.
God's love is everlasting.
Come, let us praise God joyfully.
Let us come to God with thanksgiving.
For the good world, for things great and small, beautiful and awesome, for seen and unseen splendors.
We thank you, God.
For human life, for talking and moving and thinking together, for common hopes and hardships shared from birth until our dying.
We thank you, God.
For your help in times of doubt and sorrow, for healing our diseases, for preserving us in temptation and danger.
We thank you, O God.
For the church into which we have been called, for the good news we received by word and sacrament, for our life together in the Lord.
We praise you, God.
For your Holy Spirit, who guides our steps and brings us gifts of faith and love, who prays in us and prompts our grateful worship.
We praise you, God.
Above all, O God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and lives again for our salvation, for our hope in him, and for the joy of serving him.
We thank you and praise you, eternal God, for your everlasting love.
Give thanks to the Lord, proclaim his greatness, tell the nations what he has done.
We will sing praises to God and tell of the wonderful things he has done.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love.
Be glad that we will long contain, let all who worship him be rejoiced.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And as we move in from Thanksgiving, the next theme we really want to spend some time doing is a theme of self-examination. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says this, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. Which is kind of a scary verse if you're like, whoa. It's intense. But it obviously means that the way that we approach the Lord's Supper matters. And so while these elements in and of themselves have nothing special about them, just an ordinary wafer today, as we're using the little packets, a little wafer, normal grape juice, there's nothing special about these things. And yet what they represent is what causes us to take this act of eating the bread and drinking the juice seriously. And so, like with everything else that Jesus taught, what's on the outside actually has pretty little value. What he's looking at is the inside. And so we can come in here looking like the perfect Christian, but that doesn't necessarily mean our hearts are good. And the opposite can be true as well. And so these words of Paul, I think, have caused a lot of fear in people. Earlier in the passage, Paul says, yeah, that we're not to take the bread or the cup in a way that isn't worthy of Christ. And if we do so, we will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. And so it may seem simpler to just refrain rather than risk bringing this judgment upon ourselves. But I believe that this theme of self-examination shouldn't bring shame or fear. That's not who our God is. But rather, it should lead us into greater intimacy with Christ and recognition of his incredible grace and forgiveness. It's like every moment that we recognize that we've messed up is not a chance for us to like walk away and be like, whoops, I guess I didn't cut it, and walk away. Every chance we mess up is an opportunity for us to come back to God and for him to meet us with open arms. And so we are going to give some time for each of us to just do that. Examine our own hearts and minds in preparation to take the cup and the bread. And we're going to do that through going through the prayer of examine as a guide to help us do that. And so I'm going to walk us through, there's five steps. I'm going to walk us through each of them, and I'll give you kind of some instruction. And then you can just have some space to spend in just silent meditation of your own life. So it's going to invite you to look back over this past week and to look forward into the next week and just notice how God has been working and give thanksgiving. And then it's also going to give us an opportunity to examine areas in which we may have fallen short this week. Because let's face it, we've all done that. We're all human, right? I'm not the only one? Hopefully not. So let's just spend a moment. I'll invite you to maybe even just close your eyes. I know for me, I can get distracted looking at things, or sometimes I like to pick like a single fragment of carpet to focus on. Depends on what you like, but I just invite you to just close your eyes, quiet your hearts, stop for a moment, maybe take a deep breath, but just recognize that you are in God's presence, that he's here with you. He's been with you since the beginning of your day, from the moment that you woke up until this moment right now. And he was with us even this entire last week in every detail. So as we prepare to kind of look back over this week, just ask the Holy Spirit to shine a light that will clear your vision so that you might see what God wants you to see. In the words of Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8, where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. And if I went down to the grave, you would be there too. So just spend some time. Recognize God's presence with you. Ask the Holy Spirit to shine a light that will clear your vision as we look back over this past week. Then I want to invite you to just have a moment to give thanks once again. Every moment in our day is a gift from God, and so let's be thankful for all of it, even just the smallest things. Allow gratitude to draw you into the fullness of your life. The first two verses of Psalm 9 declare, I will thank you, Lord, with all my heart. I will talk about all your wonderful acts. I will celebrate and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name most high. So just give thanks to God for this day, just for the smallest pleasures that he loves to bestow upon us. We're going to begin to review our week. So just think back over the past few days, the past week. Think about who you were with, who you saw, where you were, what you've done. Recall just the ordinary things, the sights, maybe sounds, smells, conversations, thoughts, feelings you experienced, what enlivened you and what discouraged you. Give your attention to those moments and offer them to God. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 3 says, Lord, you have examined me, you know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and my resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. You consider your week. Reflect honestly on the moments you felt out of tune with God. Maybe it's something you said. Maybe it's a missed opportunity. Maybe it's a way that you just wish you'd acted differently. Hindsight is 20/20. For what do you maybe need forgiveness? Is there anything that maybe you need to make right with someone else? Make a plan to do that, if so. But look at your shortcomings in light of what Christ has done for you and allow God to heal them, to restore them. In the words of Psalm 51, verses 10 to 12, create in me a clean heart, O God. Put a new and a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. As we leave behind this past week, it's in the past now, what are you looking forward to? And what concerns you maybe about this coming week? Ask for God's help in the future to open your eyes, to open your ears and your heart to see where God is working around you. Remember that God will again be present tomorrow in all things, big and small, guiding you towards fullness in your life. As we conclude the prayer of examine, just remember this promise from verses 1, 2, and 8 of Psalm 121, where it says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord will protect you on your journeys, whether going or coming. From now until forever, from now on. Amen. Well, we're going to give you some time to, maybe you want to keep considering some of this, maybe you want to keep examining your heart and mind, but we're going to move towards taking the elements, and we're going to sing a song that may be unfamiliar to you. We actually used the words of the songs in a previous time that we've done communion. I can't remember if it was the last one or what, but it's a song by Brooke Liegertwood, and it's called Communion, and it basically walks through the taking of communion. And so we're going to re-sing some of the song. The words will be up there. You can feel free to sing along if you like, but also if you want to just stay seated and ponder, remember, give thanks, self-examine, do some of these themes that we've been talking about, I invite you to do that. And we'll sing a verse and a chorus, and then I'll invite you to take the first element, which will be the bread. There are two little tabs on there. So the first one's just clear, and that one's for the bread. And then the purple tab is for the juice. So I'll invite you when the time comes to take back the bread one and then just keep the juice one there. We're going to sing a little bit more. Then we'll take the cup together. We'll sing a little bit more, and then we'll conclude with some more singing. So yeah. This is communion, your body broken, the cup we're drinking is bittersweet, the gift of friendship, truest salvation, born of your suffering on Calvary. We remember the sacrifice of love. We remember the blood poured out for us. We remember the only Son of God upon the cross. So let's take the bread together. We have remembered what Christ has done for us. We have given thanks. We have examined our own hearts. And now I invite you to take the bread. Receive this bread. Feed on it with thanks. It is the gift of God to sustain and nurture. It is Jesus incarnated and given for us. Let's give thanks. From stain to spotless, from wrath to favor, through you our Savior, the work complete,
in full repentance, led by your kindness, partake of presence as we receive. We remember the sacrifice of love. We remember the blood poured out for us. We remember the only Son of God upon the cross. We remember the price you had to pay. We remember the wounds that made a way. We remember the Lamb for all was slain upon the cross.
First Corinthians 11, 23 to 26 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And proclamation is the final theme that we want to look at this morning. When we come together and we take of the Lord's Supper, we are announcing and celebrating the victory that Jesus won over sin and death. It's as if we're cheering a toast to the bride and groom at the wedding feast. It's as if we're preaching a sermon without words to one another. When we take the bread and the cup, it makes sense that we need to do this in community. There's a lot of mystery to the Lord's Supper. How can eating some bread and drinking some juice proclaim the Lord's death until he comes? And I don't know. I don't know exactly, but I know that Jesus says that it does. And it makes me think that this proclamation is not just given to the seen world, to those of us that can see each other drinking and eating the bread and the juice, but it's also to the unseen world. We live in a world that is, yes, a physical world, but there's also a whole spiritual world going on that we don't necessarily see with our eyes. And as we take these elements, we proclaim to both the seen and the unseen world that Jesus is King, that Jesus has victory, that he is the one that has the final word. Yeah. It's a great motivation to not forsake meeting together, to participate in this proclamation together. And so let's proclaim the Lord's death and celebrate the victory that was won by drinking the cup together. Drink this cup with thanks. It is the gift of God to bring us joy. It was a hard-won battle. It is Jesus poured out for our redemption. Give thanks. How can it be that there is a table for all who would come, for all who would come? Taste now and see, there is a table for all who would come, for all who would come. How can it be that there is a table for all who would come, for all who would come? Taste now and see, there is a table for all who would
for all who would come. And take of the bread, receive the cup, for his mercy is enough for the many and the one. This is communion. Take it as often as you will, for his blood has power still. By his wounds we shall be healed. Yes, this is communion. Take of the bread, receive the cup, for his mercy is enough for the many and the one. This is communion. And take it as often as you will, for his blood is power still. By his wounds we shall be healed. This is communion. This is communion, your body broken, the cup we're drinking is bittersweet. God, we do thank you that you do prepare a table before us. The invitation is to all who would receive you, to come, to find restoration, to find salvation. God, we do remember your sacrifice. We remember the blood that was poured out. We remember the hardship for the lengths that you have gone to show us your love. And God, we proclaim your victory. We proclaim your victory over death, your victory over sin, your victory over sickness and disease. God, we recognize that you are the King of this world and we follow you. So we proclaim that by taking these elements. And we thank you that you give us this sacrament to participate in, to remind us again and again of your love, of your hope, of your joy. Yeah, we love you, we worship you. We pray this in your name, amen. Well, as we kind of come to a close, I'm actually gonna invite the ushers to come forward, and we're gonna close by singing What a Beautiful Name. I love the bridge of this song that just says, there is no rival. There's no equal. God, Jesus has the victory. And so let's stand and sing this song. And as we stand and sing it, the ushers are going to come forward and they are going to take up an offering. And so I encourage you to worship through giving as you do that as well. There are lots of ways to give digitally as well. You can head to the Connect desk after if you have questions about that. But let's declare this. Let's proclaim God's victory by singing this song together. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without. Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate?
death could not hold you, could not hold you. The veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again, and you have no benediction, which is a prayer to the crucified Christ. It says, Lord Jesus, you stretched out your arms of love upon the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your Spirit, that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you, for the honor of your name. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you throughout this year and seeing all the amazing things that God wants to do through us as a community this year. Just a couple of announcements. If you typically use the little offering cards with like your name and stuff on it, those are at a table in the back, and so if you are looking for those, you can feel free to go pick them up. If you don't see your name there, let us know and we'll figure out how to get those to you. But that is back there. As always, if you would like to pray with people, there will be people available at the front and you can do that. But otherwise, have a great week and we'll see you next time.